Hi everyone, Russ Thomas here from RST Coaching Academy. Welcome to a new episode of Money Talks, where we talk about money and how to make more of it. Hey everybody, good morning. This is Russ from RST Coaching Academy, your host of Money Talks. It's a beautiful day in Daytona Beach, sunny and hot, just like it always is. Too hot for me usually, but that's the way it is, and that's where I'm planted, and so that's where I'm blooming. So anyway, we've got a new guest here today that we're going to talk to, and let him talk about his business, his life, where he's come from, what he's doing today, where he's headed tomorrow. His name is Tracy Currington from Oklahoma. I don't even know the city yet, but he'll probably tell us that. He's got a great background and a number of things that's going to be a benefit to you, our listener, our viewer. And so let me get this going. Tracy, so thankful to have you with us today and spend, I don't know, 30 minutes, 35, 40, 2 hours, whatever it takes to chat a little bit and allow you to convey what you're about in the business world and even in the other world that you work in as well that we know about. So anyway, I just tell us about Tracy. Tell us where you come from, how the heck you got in Oklahoma, wherever you were born, maybe it was there, but tell us about your background. Tell us where you come from and a synopsis of that, what you're about, where you're coming from, where you're going. Okay.
Well, I'll be happy to. Thank you, Russ, for letting me be on Money Talks with you today. When we got to connect together here recently, I just you almost know those people that are like-minded and like value, and I think that's what draws us together. Of course, we're both people of faith, also, and so that kind of binds us a little bit by that tie. Yep. So thank you so much for being on it, and all the viewers that you tune into Money Talks. You got a great coach in Russ, and I know you're going to benefit from just hanging with him. So, Russ, my background, I come from a preacher's home. I was born in Fort Worth, Texas. At 3.5 years old, we moved to Seattle, Washington. My father helped plant a church in Seattle, Washington. We were there for about 1.5 years, moved to Cincinnati, Ohio. My great-grandfather was a pastor there for about 13 years, but he was in poor health. And he needed to get out of the kind of the Ohio River Valley and get back down to Texas where it had a better climate for him. And so my father was voted in unanimously to become the pastor. He actually served there for 33.5 years as the pastor before retiring here recently and moving down to Oklahoma where I am. But anyway, so we moved to Cincinnati. I grew up there, spent about 24 years in Ohio, just right on in Cincinnati, right on the border of Kentucky, and that's where I met my wife. I became her love slave in Independence, Kentucky. You know, so I think about that, how you know that's where I mean, it's interesting. I got tied to her and was smitten by her in a place called Independence, which is funny. But anyway, so we've been married for 26 years. Back in 2005, there's a story in here that I'll touch on, but I came through my childhood growing up in Cincinnati, being a pastor's son in the ministry. It's kind of blessing and a curse, right? And so the curiosity of all young people was in me just as much as anybody else, and I kind of drifted the way I wanted to go, and it wasn't a pleasant ride. And then in December the 23rd, 1999. I ended up in a traffic accident, I got a DUI. I was sentenced to rehab. And during that time, that's where I knew, okay, I got to correct some stuff. This is not, I at the time I had 2 young sons, a beautiful wife, and the life direction, the choices that I was make was not going to end in the right place.
Wake up call.
It definitely was. So that time that was when I turned in my, I made certain commitments to be the father I need to be the husband I need to be the servant I need to be. And so I began switching and adjusting. I believe God called me into the ministry not long after that. And then I came and I served underneath my father, got my education there through his Bible Institute. And then in 2005, moved out to Oklahoma to plant a church that didn't even exist. Uh-huh. A brand new body of believers. And we got sent out of his church to do that in a place called Ardmore, Oklahoma. Now, Ardmore is 31 miles north of the Texas border. We would be about an hour and 20 minutes from Dallas and about the same from Oklahoma City. So Ardmore is only about 25,000 people, but we can be in, you know, larger cities within an hour and a half.
Sure.
And so, you know, there's a lot of networking opportunities. We're right on the busy highway. I mean, our highway, I-35, connects all the way up to Fargo, North Dakota. And so, I mean, like it's a big, large highway. And so there's a lot of opportunity there, but we planted that church. I've been their pastor for 18 years now. Well, it'll be 18 years in November, and we're just now expanding. We got our eyes set on 4.5 acres, and we got a building blueprints that we're putting together. Wow. And everything.
Is that a full time job?
Yes. Basically, I'm full time in pastor, but I like to say anything that I do, I'm never part time.
Uh-huh.
So I'm a part-time dad, part-time husband. I'm full-time in everything that I do. So it's just like, it's my wife likes to say, she likes to illustrate me as that, that light that has no switch, you know, that blank plate on the wall, you know, like there's blank plates and there's no switch. She likes to illustrate me. She's like, you don't know how to turn it off. I say, well, I guess I don't have a switch. And so that's like, I'm always on, always going. And, I think that's what more entrepreneurs are like. Entrepreneurs, they don't have that switch. They don't know. It's not that they, you know, they don't know how to turn it off. They don't want to turn it off because they're passionate.
Heck yeah.
About everything they do.
Well, it's always getting to the one place, the goal, and then lo and behold, there's something else. You know, it never ends. You continue on going and growing. And you know, I'm 75 years old, and even if I was well off enough financially to not to have to work for money, I'm certain I would still be doing something on an entrepreneurial basis because I love it. And I can't shut that off just like yourself. So, man.
And I think that's what makes us who we are. I mean, we're willing to take a risk. I mean, your story inspires me that I want to be like you when I grow up. Because, I mean, here you are 75 years old and you're still looking for more. You're still, you know that there's more out there. And I think one of the biggest lessons that I had to learn coming into the space where I'm at today. So pastoring, I went to, there was a Chick-fil-A that opened up in our area. And I thought that's where I'd like for my kids to work. And so I like their values and everything. And so I got to know the operator who started the Chick-fil-A in our town. My kids, I have 8 kids, me and my wife, and not because we planned it. They're all ours, but I mean, just like, it's just, we got to plan for one child. Everything else was happy accidents. And so, you know, we did everything we could in our power to prevent that. And that was just not going to happen. So we got 4 boys and 4 girls. So it's 2 boys, 2 girls, 2 boys and 2 girls. Our youngest is 9 and our oldest is 25.
Wow.
So anyway, but when they were growing up and here we were in Oklahoma, a Chick-fil-A came to Ardmore, Oklahoma, and I put my kids there, 3 of my kids that were working at the time. And then another one came in. I was like, you know, maybe I'll, as a pastor, you know, on a pastor's salary, you're not always you're making a high level of income at the time. So I thought, well, I'll supplement my income and I'll, you know, I'll work for Chick-fil-A. Well, he took me on as a director and I became his executive director. He wanted to go to Knoxville. Plant another one. So I basically got to run that Chick-fil-A, a lot of it just, you know, by phone calls, by Zoom calls, by him popping in, let me know, hey, these things need to be done. And I take care of it. So I was taking care of the front of the house, the back of the house. I learned that, you know, some of the jobs that I had as a kid growing up in restaurant and in leadership, I learned that I really loved being the leader. I really loved connecting with people and I really loved serving people. It wasn't about the chicken for me. So, there was a gift, and I'm taking the story somewhere. There was a gift that was given me by the operator of that Chick-fil-A. His name is David. David gave me the gift of personal development. And I knew what I knew personal development only from a ministry standpoint about growing in the Lord and learning more, you know, how do I preach better and how do I counsel better and all those kinds of things. But he gave me the gift. He put me in a mastermind. And I'd never even heard of a thing like that. He put me in a mastermind, and I loved it. And it was John Maxwell's book, Good Leaders Ask Great Questions. And then after that, he gave us another mastermind. Sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. And then how to develop the leader within you as 2.0. But then he gave me a gift. He said, I want you to have personal one-on-one coaching. And the resource was a book John Maxwell wrote called Intentional Living. Hmm. And that intentional living, there's a chapter in there about leading from your sweet spot. And John talks about how that, you know, like you have your strength zone, you have your strengths and you have your weaknesses. Make sure you're always leading from your strengths. You need to make sure you're always out of your comfort zone so you can grow, but you want to make sure you're leading from your strengths. And I knew at that time, I had the ability to connect with people and to lead people and to build teams and to develop leaders. And also I'm a systems and process type of guy. So I thought that's my sweet spot. So from there, I started my own coaching. I got certified under John Maxwell's team at first. And then I began growing my coaching team. And then the coaching just kind of led me into an opportunity with working with a quick service restaurant. From working with a quick service restaurant, I built what I have today, also called 180 Turnarounds, that I help quick service restaurants turn their team around, shape their culture. And basically the three phases are we turn the company around, we build an amazing culture, and then we start making community impact.
Aren't a lot of these quick service restaurants like franchisees?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Don't they have their own in-house systems from the corporate?
Yeah. So you would think that would be the case. And and it's not the case in every. Now, maybe that be their claim. Some of them, they like, hey, listen, I know what the corporate offers is weak, but I want something bigger for my store, and they'll leverage independent people to come in.
Okay.
Because of what the corporate given. I mean, if you've been in the corporate field, you know that sometimes corporate training is lackluster. And it's not in every case, but in some cases it is. Uh-huh. And so, you know, there's a right fit for me in an organization. Sometimes I get to work with those in the medical field, the oil field, and things like that. But primarily in the quick service restaurant is where I do my turnarounds.
How far is your reach?
Currently, I try to radius. Do within about an hour and a half, you know, maybe a 65, 70 mile radius right now within my own community. And that is, we're branching out. I have a client in North Carolina, which is so fascinating. It's because the opportunities of Zoom, now you get to leverage that. Oh, yeah. And so, you know, I just built a package that once a month I can fly out there and I can serve them, you know, for 4 hours, board a plane, come right back. Okay. But, you know, so I try to do it that way. I love breathing the same air, being in proximity with people. That's not always possible, especially when they want the win. They want it now. Maybe their budget doesn't allow me to, you know, be able to fly out there back and forth, or maybe my time doesn't allow me to do that. So it's just kind of taken on this own shape, but it basically comes back to, I want to serve people. Uh-huh. And there's a lot of themes behind that. I don't want to get lost in the 180 turnarounds, because that's, I'm really passionate about that aspect of my business. But that's what's led me to where I am today, where we got connected with Grant Cardone and the 10X community. I knew I was missing something from my business. And what I was missing most of all was I needed a better money mindset. That's what Grant helped me to understand. I also knew that I was missing. I didn't come from a sales background. All my sales were accidental. It's like the unconscious competent, right? I was doing right things, but I didn't know how to repeat it. And so like, as far as sales, so I wanted to have the sales, but another thing that Grant really helped me with was marketing. So sales, marketing, and money mindset, those are the three things that I needed. And I started watching Grant in 2020 when everybody kind of, we had more time, right? Like we weren't blowing it going, and
we weren't traveling too much.
Exactly. No, so I thought, wow, this guy, he's brass, he's bold, but I like it. And and he's moving me. He's building something inside of me and pulling me out. And so I just reached out, bought a program of his in 2022, in the fall of 2022. By winter of 2022, I became a licensee with his company. Went to GrowthCon in this past February 2023, and now serving as one of his elite coaches.
Wow, cool! Can I ask you about the money mindset thing? That was one of the focal points of the beginning of your trip with Grant Cardone. As a person of faith, specifically Christian, and not only just that, but a pastor, did you have to work through any preconceived ideas or concepts about money? Absolutely. Making money, mm-hmm. making gobs of money, becoming wealthy and mm-hmm. striving to that even. Did you have to work through any of that mentally and I don't know, justify it or be able to explain it at least to yourself, if not to others, why it's okay for a Christian to get rich?
Yes.
Did you have to deal with any of that?
Love that. Man, it's like in volleyball, there's that bump set and I'm about to spike it, right? I mean, thank you for setting me up so well. I love that. I love that question. And of course, I should have predicted that question on Money Talks, right? So thank you for for that introduction. Okay, absolutely, absolutely. So, and I think in most Christians, especially in pastoral ministry, they start out, especially if you're starting your work. I mean, you're not making a lot of money, and you think, oh man, well, you know, there's this like vow of poverty almost, that people are not making that vow, but in their mindset they are, because it's a poverty or a scarcity mindset. I mean, God who giveth us all things richly to enjoy, and yet we're going to walk around. I mean, God giveth us the power to get wealth. I mean, he gives us the mindset. He gives us the ability.
Heck yeah.
And so I had so much, and there's a pastor that said this, and I never knew this. I never thought about this before. He said, he was talking on giving and offerings and stuff, but he made a statement that stuck with me. He said, there's more in the Bible. The Bible talks about money more than any other topic. And I thought, no way. I mean, the money, it's about Jesus and it's about the gospel. And I just got to thinking about, and I don't know if that's true or not, but I just got to thinking about, you know what? There's a lot talked about in Genesis about money. There's a lot talked about.
Those guys were rich.
About money. There's a lot talked about in Leviticus about giving the money. There's a lot, and I started thinking. So Grant said something that just blew me away. He said in one of his training, he said, go to your window, look outside. What do you see? You see cars, you see other houses, you see property, you see businesses, you see people in the street. He said, take a value of the average of the cars. The average of the car, maybe it's 10,000. How many cars do you see? Maybe you see 10. That's $100,000 sitting out there on the street. He said, take the average of the house. Maybe the house is 200,000. How many houses can you see? Maybe it's seven. Seven times two. I mean, like, you, and like 1.4 million. And like, when he did that, I was like, oh my goodness, there's money everywhere. And so then he led up to saying that you're never making money. Money's already made. All you're doing is asking the question, who's got my money?
That's a good question.
And I just, that really smote me. And I thought, okay, so this year, my theme word, I've never done a theme word before ever. I've done a theme verse, you know, from scripture or something like that. But I've never done a theme word. And so I was challenged by my mentor to just settle in on a word that will describe the direction you're going in your life this year. I settled in on abundance.
On what? So, abundance?
Abundance. Uh-huh. Because I thought, this is the year I'm going all in. I'm going to reach further than I ever have before. the, you know, like what they call the BHAG, the big, hairy, audacious goal. I'm going to collect myself some of them, and I'm just going for it this year. And I could never have done that unless I'd switched my mindset from scarcity thinking to abundant thinking.
Yeah.
Just knowing that it is, and this, I wrap my, this is 1 Timothy 6:17. God who giveth us all things richly to enjoy.
Yeah.
He, that's how God did. And so then I just thought, you know, if anybody should be rich, shouldn't it be God's people?
Heck yeah.
And so, like, anyway, to answer your question, I think the biggest thing about mindset was transitioning from a scarcity mindset to an abundant mindset. Now, that has to do with not just money, as we're talking about, but remember when Christ talked about true riches, and I have meat that you know not of. And so the true riches, I mean, how about these souls? I mean, so like, oh, very few people are trusting Christ, or very few people are coming to faith. Well, yeah, with a scarcity mindset like that, they won't, right? But when you believe that all things are possible, that he can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ever ask or think. I mean, like, he's bigger than my imagination. He's bigger than what I can think and what I can ask for, right? So that really changed. And you know what it did for me? It made me excited. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but it got me amped up just thinking about, man, I haven't even begun to tap into all that's available for me through him that giveth me the power to obtain wealth.
And I think what with this, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil, and people forget about, you know, the love of money.
Yeah.
They just say money is the root of all evil. Well, and we shouldn't be talking about money. Well, you know what? Everybody needs it. Everybody needs it. So why not talk about it? Why not be able to make as much as you can? But really, it seems like the thing that people might get twisted on is, what is the unto of all that money?
Yeah.
You know, so you become a millionaire. What are you going to do with it? You're going to hoard it? Or you're going to invest it, in this case, in the kingdom of God? Or if you're not even a person of faith, are you going to invest it in philanthropy, you know, giving to other people? That's what it should be for, is not just hoarding it onto yourself. It's like the man who, you know, he had quite an increase, and so he increased the size of his barns to hoard what he made. And God says, oh, you fool, you're going to croak tonight. You know, your life is over now. And what's that all going to do for you? So I think it's the what we do with the wealth that we create is where the rubber meets the road, and where the true blessing is, not only for other people, but for us as well. I think that one of the things that I am interested in doing is developing some kind of a seminar or a message, if you will, of being able to reach out to religious groups and teach this very thing we're talking about right now, that, hey, it's okay to make money. It's okay to make a lot of money. You need money to pay your bills and, you know, provide for your family and so on. And so to get into that is something that I'm interested in doing. And I know it's a passion for you too, is to help other people get their minds set straight.
I mean, especially for people of faith, even people that are not of faith, you can be a river or a reservoir, right? I mean, so like a river is a conduit. It's basically, it has a source, like, you know, so the Jordan River in Palestine. Up in the upper mountains, the snow melts and it flows down, and Jordan, the word Jordan means descender, right? So it's basically taking all that snow-capped mountains and all that water, and it's rushing it down, and everything's flowing to that tributary. It's rushing down and it's just flowing through. But then when the Dead Sea, we talk about the Dead Sea, all the Dead Sea does is take in, and that's why it's dead. And most people, if all you did was take in, it's more blessed to give than receive.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's biblical precedent throughout the scripture. And I had to, when you kind of take off, you're like, you got the scarcity mindset, and then you put on abundance, you're like, oh my goodness, I see it now. There's so many opportunities. I see what scripture is teaching me throughout it. We use the adage as people of faith, you can't outgive God. Well, you truly can't.
Right.
Right. I mean, because, yeah. I mean, like, pressed down, shaken together, running over some men give under your bosom. And I think stewardship is certainly something that we want to propose. But like, what am I going to do with the money? I think he only gives you what he can flow through you. And cool. That's one thing that's guided me.
Good view. That, you know, I was just thinking too, I like that. He only gives you what can flow through you. And that, unfortunately, is the mindset of so many people, is getting all they can and canning all they get.
Basically. Yes, sir.
You know, spending it on themselves, lifestyle and so on, and not being a conduit. And even people that, wealthy people that are not people of faith, they have, many of them have discovered the principles of money when it comes to God's principles, and there's the giving aspect. That's why, you know, you see so many of these wealthy people, they're givers. They take in a lot of dough, but they're giving to charity, and God blesses that. Maybe they tithe, you know, maybe they give 10% of their income to the church that they go to. Even they don't have a personal relationship with God. They right. know that that is a principle that's going to help them in the long run. So, yeah. you know, it's not just for, it's a, God's principles are principles
yeah.
that anybody who plugs into them, wouldn't right. you say, is going to benefit from them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's
yeah, even if you're not a you're not a person of faith, I mean, gravity still affects you. It's a law.
That's true. That's right.
I mean, so, and there's certain laws, we plant, he gives the increase. There's just mm-hmm. laws. None of us can control the rain. We can plant the seed, but God has to give the rain. I mean, so the blessings is going to have to come from him, and it rains both on the just and the unjust alike.
Yeah.
So when you were saying about the, about giving and how people view that, I think it's there was a thought that I was having about the way in which some people give. Some people give to the level of the what's possible, and some people give beyond what's possible.
Ah.
They see beyond that. And you know, it's interesting that, like, well, if I was as wealthy as you are, I would give like you would give too. Baloney. If you couldn't give 10% of 10 bucks, you won't give 10% of $100,000 because you're building a muscle, right? And so, like, when I was a kid, just early on, my father taught us the principles, and I didn't know the principles. I didn't know he was teaching us principles, but I didn't know where they founded. I didn't know why. I just knew that Dad was teaching me something and that we were supposed to do it. And I did it because Dad told me to. When I, as an adult, I understood the principles beyond that. That like everybody pays rent. Everybody should pay rent. This is not my earth. I didn't create this. And so if I believe as a person of faith that God designed this earth, I ought to pay him rent. And so like when 100% of the money comes in, I understand because I'm a tither. I believe in tithing. So the tithe, that's not mine. It doesn't even belong to me. So what belongs to me is 90%. What belongs to God is only 10%. And that's the rent that I give for living on his earth. So now, of course, what I've done, because I love him, I give considerably more than the 10%, but that's just as I've grown. And so the cool thing is, as I started at it, just as the principles, like you said, about the laws as a child, I'm 47 years old now. And like, it's so cool that like, I still view 10% is always 10%. It's not the monetary amount. It's still just 10%. I mean, it's just like it wasn't mine in the first place. It was always his. So I, being honest, I don't want to keep what doesn't belong to me. I want to give to him what belongs to him.
Right.
So I think he's blessed us that way.
Should come off the top.
Yeah,
10%. Interestingly, though, is that in this case, this 10%, that's not the end. That's just the starting point.
That's the minimum.
The Bible talks about offerings. Uh-huh. It talks about first fruits. And so that 10 is just a starting. Our pastor has explained these three things, that, you know, the tithing, the offering, and the first fruits. And it's like the tithing has one part, but it's the offerings and the first fruits that really goes the distance, that really puts you over the top as far as abundance and return. So if a person is all they're doing is the bare minimum, probably all they're going to get back is the bare minimum. You know, I don't know if we can expect a 100-fold on our tithe, but if we are giving above and beyond the minimum, we can expect, according to scripture principle, we can expect 100-fold on that return. Yeah. So anyway,
I look at that as like, do I want to be blessed to the penny? Yeah. Then I can give to the penny.
Yeah.
But if I want to be blessed by being rounded up, then I'm going to round up.
And yeah. Give. Yeah. All right.
So. You know, Grant has a pretty cool way of looking at, like, he doesn't live off 100% of his income. He lives off, like, you know, he's trying, his goal is to live off 20% and invest the 80% and everything. Like, there's like a 20% that he lives on, 20% that goes for his bills, and then like the rest is all investment. And I'm thinking, like, man, what a great way to live. What a great way to live. Like, okay, 10% is not even mine, it belongs to God. So I got 90% to work with. Suppose I could live off that 40% and be able to invest in that 50%. You can invest, like you mentioned before, investing into his kingdom. How can I invest that way? Because I know that has eternal returns.
Yep.
And then, like, how can I invest into real assets? How can I invest more into myself? How can I invest more into my business? When we got on, I got on the call with one of Grant's team, Elliot Bernard. Really like that guy, and Philip also. But when I got on with them, it was Elliot that kind of laid it down in like 30 seconds. He taught me this wisdom. He just said, hey, Tracy, there's three areas that all investing takes place. You first invest in yourself, you invest in your business, and then you invest in the real assets. And I never thought about that, because I've invested in the stock market and then had to pay taxes on what I gained from the stock market. But then I'm starting to understand. So that's where kind of in my investment, I'm investing in myself and my business. The next step for me in my growth journey is to begin investing in real assets or real estate. That stuff.
Well, one of the things we should be looking towards as fathers, you know, patriarchs of our own family, is to be able to leave a legacy and an inheritance for our children and our children's children. If we're just living by the skin of our teeth, there ain't going to be much to live, you know. Oh, maybe, well, he was a great guy. He was broke as everything, but he was a great guy. Okay, well, I think I want to be known for more than that, you know. And so our investments can definitely help with the inheritance to our children and our children's children.
Dad died and left his debts, and the only life insurance policy covered his debts, and all we have is his memory.
Yeah, that's about it.
I would like to leave a whole lot more. Amen. And not just for my children, and not just for my children's children. I want to leave a mark as a testimony that, you know, their scripture reads that their works do follow them. So, I mean, like, I have only one life that I get to live. And I love, you mentioned to me in private about your desire to influence 10,000 people.
Yep.
And that's what I want to do. And I don't know if maybe I need to do a little bit more work about putting a number to it. But I want to influence, I've written two books. They're both in publishing right now. One is a leadership principle book on the toughest challenges for servant leaders. The other one is a daily devotional. You know, I've got 365 plus a day for a leap year. And I co-wrote that with my daughter. And so that one's with Thomas Nelson Publishers. They're finishing it up right now. The editing process takes forever. the other one is with a group from Amazon that I'm just wanting to put that out to help with my business. Those things are ways that I can touch untold thousands, and I'll never know the return truly about a book. And how we have a mutual acquaintance, Manesh, and Manesh has written 10 books. I'm inspired by that, just because think about that reach. I mean, like, I think John Maxwell has a statement. He says leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And so if you think, okay, how can I define leadership? It's influence. everybody influences somebody. Therefore, everybody's in some way a leader.
Yeah, true.
You have influence. Right. And so I'm thinking, like, how can I, I think you do this. I think you influence too, but that's limited. But if I can influence through, that's exponential.
Oh, yeah.
So, if I can influence my kids, that's influencing too. I read in a Reader's Digest, I don't know if Reader's Digest is still out today, but years ago, and it stuck out in my mind, they said everybody knows 11 people that trust them. And so, like, basically in your circle, you have 11 people. That's what they said on average. You have 11 people in your circle that if you said, this is a book for you, they would go out and buy that book because you have that kind of a persuasion or rapport. If I can influence you and you can influence those 11, think about that kickback.
Yep.
Exponential influence, but you have to, I think one is too low of a number for greatness, and you've got to be willing to influence to and through.
That's right.
For that legacy to leave behind.
Yep. So set your number. Grant Cardone himself, he's after 8 billion people in the whole world. So 10,000 for me and for you. I mean, it's like, well, maybe we should even shoot a little higher, but you've got to start someplace. So
yes, that's anyway, right.
I know that you said you need to get off of here pretty quick. So how are you expanding your consulting business? How are you marketing your restaurant consulting business that you're in now? I don't even know if we got that far into your background, but that's where you have bloomed and blossomed, I understand. And so you're in a specific diameter from where you live now, and I know that you've got desires of expanding that. How will you do that?
Okay. So I think there's two questions that are here, and I'm going to try to tag both of them real quick. First of all, multiple streams of income. For me, as far as scaling who I am and what I want to do, I have a subscription platform. It's called Page Turners. And basically what I do on that one is just for $20 a month, I meet with them two times a month. Two times a month on a Saturday. And I help them to read more books. Many people cannot afford to go off to a conference. They couldn't, even if they could afford it, they can't take a break from work all the time to go off to a conference, you know, here, there, everywhere, every quarter. So and it would be ideal, but I don't think that's realistic. But they could bring that learning to themselves. People don't, the book business, as far as an industry, is booming. I mean, it always has. But that doesn't mean people are reading what they're buying. They don't have a problem buying the books because something about the cover spoke to them, something about the author. The problem they have is reading them. And if they would read one book a week, they would have a 52-to-1 advantage over other people.
Yeah.
Because 52 weeks in a year, most people only read one book a year. And so, so what I'm teaching them, so that's one. So that's one stream of income. Another is the 180 turnarounds where I help quick service restaurants turn around. And I'm going to speak into that one about how I'm going to scale that one in just a minute. The other one is the private coaching practice. The other one is serving with Grant and his people. And so I'm growing these. And then, of course, I have my pastoral ministry also. And that's not on the side. That's yes and. I mean, so across the board, all these streams of income, it all rolls into one account, right, called Tracy Currington.
Yeah.
We have multiple drifts that come down into the spot.
Uh-huh.
But I was going to say this on the 180 turnarounds, as far as scaling it. So the first answer to your question is with multiple streams of income, that's how I'm growing. But on the 180 turnarounds, the way that I'm going to scale, I'm starting out geographical just so that because I can meet all the other multiple streams of income I've got going on. And I can still get around an hour and a half. I can still travel an hour and a half to get to the two or three quick service restaurants I'll do per quarter, something like that. And I run with him for about a year, but the most concentrated effort is in 3 months. But the way that I'm going to scale is I'm going to have to grow a team. I just kind of blasted out some things that I had going on. I had a guy from Fargo, North Dakota, of all places, connect with me. He is the general manager for a Taco Bell and an Arby's. he reached out to me and he said, Tracy, I love what I'm seeing here. Are you hiring?
Ah, really?
And so I said, I'm not yet. 2024 is my expectation of building another team, because I know I need my team's three people. I need three people on each team. And so, that team could basically serve about three quick service restaurants at a time. So is my mark. And so I know I needed to build another team. And he's like, I said, well, let's get on a call. So here's just, I put out social media. He followed me on LinkedIn, connected with me. I got on a call with him and I talked to him about putting skin in the game. This guy, I mean, like, he's like, I'll bet on myself for the win. So He's taking private coaching with me, and I'm going to build him up and teaching my business model.
All right.
So that he can grow into my business as well. So basically I get to train him at real time while he's working there. He'll be able to implement some of the strategies that I'm doing in his own restaurants, begin to get the revenue increases there to see that it works.
Yep.
Right. And then bring him into my, so it's right. All about scale.
Yeah.
And the way that I'll scale is just by building teams outside of my sphere, my geographical right. region.
So this fellow approached you through social media?
Social media.
Is that probably the number one tool that you're using for
the
expansion?
Number one marketing? Yes. Yeah, so you met your question. It also involved marketing. And I think with marketing, what I've realized is I had to show up every day. Every day, every day, every day. I showed up every day for about 2.5 years. I'm just showing up. It's a Facebook Live. It's a Facebook Live. It's a Facebook Live. Every morning, I went through probably four of those journals, you know, like the page journals. And I just did one page. Took me about 3 to 5 minutes. And I just kind of almost read off the page or memorize it from the page. Just go live with it. Teach some content. And I just did that again and again. No one ever saw those. But I was teaching. I was building a muscle. I was building a muscle that I was teaching, I was writing, I was teaching, I was writing, I was teaching, I was writing. Now I have so much content. One of the guys that I hired to help me with, you know, structuring it, he said, Tracy, stop making more content. He said, take and clip out the 2 to 3 minutes, the 5 minutes. People are only watching for 30 seconds anyway.
Oh.
Take all the content that you have, clip it out. You probably have 4 or 5 good nuggets in those clips.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he said, then put it out there. And I love what Grant said. Believe that no one saw it. So put it on a repeat.
Yeah.
And now I have all this content. But I'd say building the content takes consistency and dedication if you want to market that. And so this guy saw something that I may have recorded 2 years ago.
Okay. Right.
And it's just consistent.
That's where I'm at in my business is getting the attention. Grant says that money follows attention. It starts with attention. That's part of the whole marketing process. And social media is a big avenue for that. Honestly, I'm not seeing any results to that, but I know it's something I have to continue to do to be faithful at, along with other things as well. And so we've got to get known. I see the time. You need to go. You've got another meeting in a few minutes. Say something to somebody, speak to somebody right now that's going to stay with them and encourage them in their walk, mindset, business, marketing, sales. Just a quick thing that'll hopefully stay with somebody.
I'd love to. Okay, so you're watching this right now. There's a reason why you're on this call. This is not an accident. You're on this call because there was something that Russ offers you that you've either been following him, you've been watching his podcast. I want to tell you what a mentor is. He's got a podcast that's called Money Talks. I have a podcast called Collaborative Entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And it's not about you jumping on mine versus his. It's about you finding that voice that can speak into your life. Because a mentor, I know this, a mentor is one who knows the way because they're going the way and they can show you the way. But you have to show up. The number one rule of success is show up and keep showing up. We just talked about consistency. That's what it takes hard work. Yeah. But you got to show up. You got to show up and you got to show up. I don't feel like you got to show up. You're never going to get muscle bound by going to the gym for 30 minutes once a month.
Yeah.
You got to show up every day. You got to show up every day. You got to grind. You got to hustle. You got to create. You got to be able to pivot and adjust. But you're going to have to surround yourself with voices that you can trust. With voices that are speaking the language you need to hear so that you can get all that God intended you to have in this lifetime.
Good point. Good advice. Folks, I hope you're listening to that and will take heed to that. Now, with that great advice, they know how to approach me. They know how to reach me. How do they reach you?
Okay.
Maybe they like you better than me, and that's fine.
No, we're not in that competition.
So how do they reach
yes
you,
and.
Man?
I think it's a yes and. You guys, you got a great friend in Russ, and I know he's going to add so much value to you. So connect with him. But if you'd like to connect with me, I can be reached at tracy@tmccoaching.org is my personal email address. And I always respond to my emails. But tracy@tmccoaching.org. If you just want to find me, you can find me at TMC Coaching on LinkedIn, on Facebook, Tracy Currington. I mean, those two names, TMC Coaching or Tracy Currington, you're going to find me. And 180turnarounds.com is my website for my business transformations and so forth like that. But that's how they can connect with me. I'm so glad and honored to have been able to be on your podcast today, Russ. Thank you for allowing me to share this time with you.
Hey, man, I'm so glad and honored that you accepted my invitation and said, yeah, I'll come and talk. And you've got great perspective, great experience, and great perspective. And we obviously got into that subject. And I think it's something that's going to be a blessing, not only to my audience, but obviously to your audience as you continue to reach people. In your sphere of influence, that's one thing regarding the prayer of Jabez back in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Increase my sphere, increase my territory. We want to reach more people.
Yes.
We've got something to teach because we've been taught a lot of cool things. And so we want to pass that on. And that's what this is all about, folks that have been watching, that have been listening to this podcast, watching me and other people on the Roku channel and soon to be Amazon Fire. We're here for you. We're here to benefit you, to help you take the next step in your life onto the road of success, to reaching your goals. That's what we're for. So over and out for you folks. We'll see you again probably in a week or so, and look forward to that and look forward to hearing from you guys. All right?
All right. Thank you.
Hi, thanks for being here today for another episode of Money Talks. I hope it was informative and encouraging to you. If it struck a chord in your heart, or if you have any questions or comments, please let us know. Visit us at rstcoachingacademy.com, call 386-286-2450, or send an email to email@rstcoachingacademy.com. Thanks again, and until next time, be great.